It's Dave O and Killian White's KC Press Box, powered by FanDuel. The KC Press Box, where you get the sports headlines that you care about. Plus, learn to make cold, hard cash with the Sportsbook 101 that teaches you every aspect of sports investing. The lineup is ready. The players are set. And now, let's head to the KC Press Box with your hosts, Dave O and Killian White.
Oh my gosh, finally, Super Bowl 57. Just about here. It's been like the longest week and a half ever. You got Dave O hanging out with my boy.
Sharpshooting Killian White.
And we're with FanDuel Sportsbook talking about the KC Press Box and talking almost exclusively on this edition about Super Bowl 57. Killian, brother, man, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to preview this game, give you our prediction, things to watch, some trends, some facts. We're going to break down when the Chiefs have the ball. We're going to break down when the Eagles have the ball. We'll give you some favorite prop bets that we have. Maybe even a mini Sportsbook 101 lesson, our lock of the week where we're sitting at 44 wins and 21 losses. Killian, did you realize if I get this one right, I'm sitting at 69%?
I did realize that. I'm pretty sure you reminded me at one point. We've been talking about this game like crazy all week. I think this is just going to be hopefully more organized, like rehashing of just our conversations all week.
I hope. We've had some great conversations. Yeah. Nothing on the podcast yet, so this will be first listening for everybody else. But you and I have certainly discussed this game ad nauseum, although I'm sure there's some things that we both haven't told each other that we're going to bring up here during the show. But yeah, man, how are you doing? Everything going well?
Yeah, everything's real well. Kind of keeping the betting to a minimum. Looking forward to this game. A few basketball bets here and there. But yeah, good week overall. Staying busy here at the stations.
Yeah, I've been kind of betting light too with college basketball. It's just I don't have the time right now to put into it. Like some years I'm like massively into college basketball betting. And I suspect as February goes on, I'll get more into it. Just because February is a great month to bet college basketball because teams face each other for the second time in most situations. Most leagues, you know, teams face each other twice. Some of the bigger ones, they don't. You might get 1.5 or 1.25. Like maybe you might play the same team twice, maybe four teams. But most leagues, like the Big 12, for example, Big 10, the majority of them, you'll see them, Pac 12, face each other twice. Some of the smaller conferences, Big South, Big Sky, all of those. So there's money to be made, and we can talk more about that in future episodes. We'll have lots of college basketball knowledge. We'll kind of shift, Killian, by the way, once the Super Bowl ends. We'll come back next week with an episode pretty much recapping the Super Bowl and the whole NFL as a whole. Maybe go down some of our previews and predictions that we made before the year, see how they stacked up. And then we'll kind of turn the page to college basketball. Mid-February, get you through March Madness, and then we'll turn the page to baseball. Before you know it, it'll be fantasy football time. Drafts will be coming again, training camp. So it really never ends here on the KC Press Box as we mainly do NFL, MLB, college basketball, and some college football for you. Those are our sports. Now, I do want to talk briefly about the NBA. I'm just going to be transparent. I am not an NBA guy anymore. Used to be back in the day. Haven't kept up with it in recent years. Obviously, some big trades. You already know about all of those. But I do want to talk. I bring up the NBA because you had a bad beat, and it actually involved the NBA this week. Tell me about it.
It did. I don't know about a bad beat. I mean, we'll put it in the category, but it was something that I didn't bet that I should have, so at least I didn't lose money. But as we all know, LeBron broke the all-time scoring record.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't hear that. It's like every freaking news channel every second.
Yeah, broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. And so there was... He needed 36 points that night to do it. They were at home.
Third quarter, right?
Yeah, he did it in the third quarter, but he needed 36 points. Before the game, they were talking about, you know, that's a lot. He could do it, but he really wants to do it the next game. And I was all for it, by the way.
So you were going to bet this.
I was going to bet
this.
You're
like, tonight's the night.
I told my roommates, I was like, did you see that suit he wore in to the game?
Tonight's
the night.
Did
you see he has his sons there? Like, this is going to be the game. And they're like, no, I think it's going to be against the Bucks. Kareem played against the Bucks. He'll be there tomorrow. I didn't realize he was going to be in the stadium that night. And then I listened to one of the podcasts I listened to on general sports betting from people that know a lot more about the NBA than me, and they were all over tomorrow the next day. They were like, no, he's gonna do it against the Bucks. Same thing my roommate said. And so, you know, I let him talk me out of it. And so then, of course, LeBron early in the third quarter broke the scoring record, no problem.
And you're all mad because you're like, no one would listen to me. Everyone said not to. So I talked myself out of. And Killian, what do they call somebody in sports betting who's on top of it, who sees things other people don't? It's a sharp. What do they call you? Sharpshooter. You got to listen to yourself, son. That is frustrating, though, when that happens. Like, you and I were talking. You were talking about how your roommate sometimes will be like, I knew I should have taken, or I wish I, or what was it? Like, I should have taken Ray McLeod on the first touchdown at 30-1.
Were you looking at that?
Yeah, you're like, were you actually ever looking at it? Well, no, but I should have taken it.
So yeah, well, you should.
Unless you were actually like literally about to put it in and multiple times thought about it and talked about it. Like, you have a gripe there because you were talking about that. So yeah, that's kind of a quick, real quick sportsbook 101 lesson. Let's just do like a 30-second quick lesson here on that. Betting with conviction, knowing when to let people persuade you or sway you might be the better word. Because I feel like there's all of us that sometimes are just so headstrong that we know we're right, we're going to bet it no matter what. But then, and I think that's important. If you're that confident and you have that much belief in something, at the end of the day, it's your money that you're wagering. So you should do something that you're going to be able to, I mean, not to sound dramatic, but you're going to be able to sleep with at night, right? You're going to be able to say, okay, well, that was at least my pick. Like, so I think there's always a fine line, Killian, I'll get your thoughts on this, between going with something you think and being kind of swayed out of it. You know, like, where is that line? Is it just one of those things where, like, you need to, because I think more times than not what you think is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think the only times it's okay to kind of listen to somebody is like some occasionally. I usually don't put money on something. I'm a guy that likes to bet things that I think are 60% or above happening,
right?
Which is why I call it sports investing versus sports betting. I used to be a sports bettor. I would just bet random crap like the coin toss every year. AFC lose 8 years in a row in the Super Bowl, which we found out, by the way, you cannot bet somehow in Kansas.
They're protecting you this year in Kansas.
But we'll talk more about some other things you can't bet.
I was going to get back in touch with his old bookie now.
Yeah, maybe drive to Iowa for that one. Like, there's stuff like that I used to do, and then now I'm just more of a guy that looks at things that I know. I bet on things that I know about, and I try to find 60%+ bets. So I think the only time I'll occasionally let that talk me into something, I generally don't let people talk me out. If I'm confident, and you should be the same way because you know what you're talking about, and anybody listening, if you have a strong take and you know something, always go with what you think, okay? But if there's ever a time where you're like, man, I kind of like that. Yeah, that's not a bad bet. You're kind of iffy on taking it. More times than not, you probably shouldn't. Because you're not betting with conviction. It's probably not a 60% type bet. But there has been some times, and you're probably the same way, where you're like kind of on something, and then you hear two people that you kind of respect say the same thing, and you're like, okay.
Right. That's what we're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, you know, I like this bet. I don't know a ton about the NBA. You know, I don't follow LeBron on Twitter, you know? So I was like, let me see what this podcast is talking about. And I was hoping that they would be like, you know what? Great bet tonight. Let's bang the over. And I would be like, see, perfect. The
Sharks. But they weren't.
And they weren't. And so, yeah. I mean, in retrospect, obviously, should have taken it anyway, should have believed.
But you
myself.
Told me at work that you had a good feeling about that. So I think in that case, you should have still gone with it.
But, I think you're right.
But that's just a quick little lesson. And in general, I think only bet things that you're fairly confident. You shouldn't have to be swayed typically when making a wager. If you have to be swayed, you probably shouldn't make it. But unless it's something you already were kind of thinking about and you're pretty sure, but then you kind of got cold feet, but then you hear other people that your specs say it, then I think it's okay in that circumstance. But for the most part, if you don't have conviction, stay away. I think that's a good sport.
And in the NFL, I am a little bit better about that. And like, as I tell myself, I mean, the best sports bettors in the world are hitting it like a 60 to 70% clip. So they're still wrong a lot. I mean,
what are we getting the lock of the week?
We're 60 to 70, closer to 70.
No, we're 68.4 right now.
There you go.
Just had to plug myself right there. You said the best are 60 to 70.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm not sure what percentile that puts you in, but near the top. Well,
once I'm at 69%, I'm going to be in the top 1% because that's where you want to be at the end of the day. I'd rather win 69% than 100%.
I would rather take 100, I think, but
okay.
But you know,
fine.
Our following
be that
would be
way,
insane,
then.
But
be that way. I care to the Beavis and Butthead crowd. By the way, you see the new episodes are back now.
Yeah, they brought that back a couple times.
It's back again now. I watched it last night. Was the first episode on Comedy Central.
Worth it?
It wasn't very good.
Okay.
To be honest, like, I love the hell out of that show. And they did another relaunch like maybe 5 years ago.
I remember that,
6 years ago. And those were freaking hilarious. The one last night sucked. So we'll see. I'll give it a few more episodes before I write it off. I mean, Mike Judge has got to be getting pretty old now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got to be in his 60s, right?
Yeah. I mean, the original was in the 80s, right?
No, like early 90s.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I mean, he was, I think, in his late 20s or something then. So do the math. But all right. Well, Super Bowl 57. By the way, real quick, we should probably talk about FanDuel Sportsbook, our awesome partners and sponsors here. And the Gronk kick. So I think he's going to make it. I've got confidence in Gronk. But make sure you opt in because then check back the next morning for prizes. We got all sorts of things on there, Killian. What else we got on there? We got a no sweat same game parlay, right?
Yeah, no sweat same game parlay for any and all customers. Believe that's a three-legger plus 400 or better. So go ahead and get that in. Maybe take a couple touchdowns. We're liking a lot of scores in this game. If you are a new customer, they're upping that no sweat first bet for your first bet up to $3,000. So great time to get in on that.
Take the lock of the week later for
$3,000. If you've been listening to us this whole time, we're going to assume you probably have a sports book, but if not, this is a great time to do it.
Or if you've got, I mean, honestly, if you have your wife or girlfriend or your parent, somebody, I mean, they've got to be a real person. You know, your dog can't have one, but somebody like my mom signed up when it first went live in Kansas and used the FanDuel Sportsbook promos and made a lot of money on that. My dad's done the same thing. My dad is disabled, but I drive his phone over and with his money, his account, and put in some bets for him sometimes because he can't get in a car physically, but he lives in Missouri, and he uses FanDuel Sportsbook. So it's a pretty special thing. I love bonding over that with my dad, by the way. It's really, really kind of cool for me. So
you just gave me an interesting TikTok idea for a dog making your bets for you.
Yeah, we should do
just a little AB, which one you put your paw on, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Hey, yeah. There's been times in my life where that would have been a better pick than my picks were. Yeah. I think we all go through slumps every once in a while. Where you feel like you can't hit water if you fall off a boat. That was us kind of the first couple of weeks of the season. Remember? I remember you being like, we just kept having bad beat after bad beat. Remember that? Yeah. You're like, am I ever going to win a bet again?
No, I just remember being like, I understand that, betting is set up to lose more than win, for the average customer. And I understand.
Although both of us are up a lot.
Absolutely. And that's why we have a podcast, right?
in theory, yeah.
But I understand that if you're hitting parlays, you're going to hit them at a pretty low clip. But it was just so frustrating, going 0 for 4 against the spread, going 0 for 5 against the spread.
And
what's happening?
A lot of it was BS stuff, too.
Yeah, right.
It was just odds and ends stuff. So.
And some of it was kind of the changing of the guard a little bit in the NFL this year and some of the teams that we thought
sometimes
would be great.
Exactly. It takes you a while. So, really, you need about 4 weeks of a body of work in the NFL to kind of, you need right. Week 5 or week 6 before you kind of know what teams are. But we certainly know now going into the Super Bowl. So let's get to it. Super Bowl 57. Tell you what, Killian, I absolutely cannot wait for this game. Don't you feel like we've been... Doesn't it feel like it's been longer than a week and a half ago?
I mean, we've been waiting on all season. We have those futures bets from before. I mean, obviously, wishful thinking a little bit, but it worked out for us. We were very confident. I mean, enough to put up a lot of our own
money.
We
both had the Chiefs in, and then you and I took a swing at the fences as a 30-1. You had the Titans, and I had the Saints.
Yeah, neither one turned out too well for us.
No,
but that's why they were long shots.
Yeah, the Titans were better than the Saints. I'll give you that. That was kind of my long shot. I thought that Saints team was going to be a lot better than they were. Also, didn't realize that Jameis Winston was going to just. Right. Turn into a, I don't know what happened to him. Supposedly he was even healthy the last 9 weeks. But all right, so what is it, 5:37 is at the kickoff?
I believe so.
Central time. I cannot wait for this game. Let's start generically. I think it's kind of fun to see who has the edge. So before I really want to talk at length about when the Chiefs have the ball and when the Eagles have the ball. Mm-hmm. But let's just kind of go through position by position. Head coach versus head coach, who has the edge here?
Got to take Andy Reid.
The Chiefs have the edge. Yeah. Agreed. Do we agree that Bucker and Jake Elliott are probably a wash?
Probably
since Bucker seems to have his swerve back the last.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is Elliott's probably been a little bit more consistent, but the highs have been higher for Bucker, and he seems to be there now. Hopefully, he was the last couple games.
Both kickers are solid though.
Yeah,
I think Elliott's a very good kicker. And then let's go through. Quarterback wise,
gotta take Mahomes.
Offensive line,
probably Eagles, but yep. They're both good.
It's got to be the Eagles, but I will talk about how the Chiefs are arguably a top five unit as well. I think people kind of just sleep on the Chiefs offense because it's all about Mahomes and Kelce and offensive line. Not offense, they don't sleep on the offense, but on the offensive line. Tight ends, Chiefs,
yep,
receivers, Eagles.
You got to be, yeah, with Devontae and AJ Brown.
This might be a hot take. I think running back is a wash. Most people probably say the Eagles on that, and I'm not going to fight you if you want to say Eagles. Mm-hmm. I just think Pacheco has turned into such a solid running back. I don't know that Miles Sanders is that much better than Pacheco.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this year he's kind of come on, and a lot of that has been the line, but the running back itself, I think.
And McKinnon to me is
so
Gainwell.
That's the thing is if you're giving a top running back versus top running back, a little bit of a wash if you count the whole run game, maybe Eagles because of Jalen Hurts and because they have
Scott. I'm just saying running backs though.
But yeah, if we're just talking about just running backs, I'd say it's pretty similar.
And then don't you think McKinnon and Gainwell is a much wash?
I would take McKinnon over Gainwell probably at least the majority of the year. He's
such a good pass blocker too.
Right,
my God.
And he's kind of fell off a little bit the last couple of weeks. He looked like he wasn't completely healthy.
Yeah, it's because of usage too. I think they didn't really. And Pacheco was running the ball so well. He's like a bowling ball. Good luck trying to tackle him. That's what he had. I think he gets the tough yards more than Miles Sanders. I think he's more of a between the tackles guy that can get you more of those tough yards than Miles Sanders. To me, running backs are a wash. You're right, though. The rushing game, the Eagles obviously have the edge if you're talking about rushing.
Right.
Just as the Chiefs would have the edge if you're talking about purely passing. But I think essentially these offenses are fairly similar. I mean, the Chiefs have the edge at quarterback, but it's not a massive edge.
Right.
This is the first time all season that the Eagles have not had an edge at quarterback in a game that they've played the entire season. And we'll talk about that too. That's indicative on the opponents and some of the stuff that we'll talk about in a bit here. But defensively, I think the Chiefs are not as good as the Eagles. Defensively, pretty much at any level. But I don't think
it's as much of a disparity as people are acting
like. No, we have reasons to say that too. I give the Eagles a slight edge on defense. Mm-hmm. I do. Give the Eagles the edge on the offensive line. It's an edge. I mean, probably more than slightly, but that also doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't really good. I mean, I think the Eagles are just like an elite offensive line, right, and the Chiefs are a very good offensive line, if that makes sense. I give the Chiefs the edge at quarterback, and a lot of this is just washes. I give the Chiefs the edge at coach, but special teams are kind of a wash. Running backs are kind of a wash.
I mean, based on what we've seen this year, I'm going to give them the edge in special teams.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Dave Tobe hasn't had the best year for his unit. But hey, maybe Tommy Townsend's holding the ball correctly.
And last week was great. Or 2 weeks ago, but you know.
Well, against Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Sky Moore at the end and Butker being perfect and containing kicks. Yeah, it was pretty good. So let's get in. One thing I will say, what do we always talk about in playoff football? We talk about one or two plays when these teams are elite and well-matched. And we talk about the quarterback and the head coach. Mm. That really is what it comes down to a lot. 4 years, by the way, Nick Sirianni spent here in Kansas City. It's been cool hearing him this week talk about how much he enjoyed his time here in Kansas City. So, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt the Chiefs have the edge at head coach and quarterback. I don't think anybody – I don't care what Skip Bayless has to say every week. Last week it was Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in the NFL over Mahomes. Now it's Hurts is the better football player, unless you want the Harlem Globetrotters apparently, then yeah. Mahomes is better. Anybody who in their right mind thinks Jalen Hurts is better than Patrick Mahomes – and I think Jalen Hurts is a top five NFL quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson. People always try to say Lamar Jackson's still better. I don't think so. I think Jalen Hurts is a much better passer. So Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback also, but I don't think anybody in their right mind would take him over Patrick Mahomes if they were starting a franchise.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
So because the top five is what? Mahomes, Allen or Burrow in the 2 and 3. And then, I mean, is it like Hurts and Lawrence? Is that where it's at right now? I mean, Lamar is up there. Rodgers is kind of washed. Herbert's close. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, those are kind of like the top eight guys, right?
Yeah.
Lamar and Hurts and Lawrence and Herbert and those other guys. You know, maybe Lamar. Yeah, so... but it'll be interesting to see. So let's talk about when the Chiefs have the ball here. To me, Killian, I am not concerned about the Eagles' defense. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about it. I'm just going to throw that out there. This is not where the game is going to be decided. The game is going to be decided, I think, when the Eagles have the ball.
I agree, yeah.
So, but when the Chiefs have the ball, and we should probably talk about what the over-under is and all that. So this game is Philly at 1 or 1.5 right now?
Philly's at 1.5 right now, even juice.
And it's 51?
50.5.
Okay. So 1.5 and 50.5 here. This game's going over, I think. I get that the Eagles have a good defense. This might sound really stupid, and I promise you I'm not trying to sound like I'm a homer. Mm-hmm. But I just... like, I struggle to call this defense elite. I struggle to do that. Like, here's a stat for you that I uncovered, and I went back and looked this up on Pro Football Focus. The Eagles have faced only 3 top 15 pass-blocking offensive lines the entire season. Only 3 out of how many games? 18, is that what it is? No, 19 games. They've only faced 3 top 15 pass-blocking offensive lines. Per Pro Football Focus. So, I mean, yes, this defensive line has got 70 sacks. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I mean, it's amazing. Chiefs only have 55. So they're getting one more sack a week than the Chiefs, for example. But it's like they've only faced the basically 3 above average offensive lines the entire season. Let's go through the last 14 quarterbacks they've faced. And again, I'm not trying to just talk shit on the Eagles right now, just so you know that. I think this defense is very good. It's better than the Chiefs' defense. This is not an elite defense. I'm not scared of this defense. Here's who they've faced. Cooper Rush, the last 14 games. Cooper Rush, Kenny Pickett, in like his...
early Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 3 picks.
Davis Mills, Taylor Heinicke.
They lost.
Yep. Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, who scored 33 against them. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is nowhere close to Mahomes or the Chiefs offense. You've seen that Green Bay offense.
Especially
it's horrible.
This year.
They're not good. Yeah. Green Bay offense is at best average. Ryan Tannehill, who I believe got hurt that game too. Mm-hmm. Or right after. Daniel Jones, Okay, he's a good quarterback. He might be in that top 10. We should probably mention him in that top 10 also. Justin Fields, great fantasy quarterback, not a good real life quarterback. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, who scored 34 against them. Andy Dalton with Taysom Hill mixed in.
Right.
Daniel Jones on a week where they didn't run their offense. No Barkley. They didn't play anybody because it was the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones in the playoffs. And Josh Johnson. Like, this defense has been great. Am I supposed to believe when they've seen three top 15 pass blocking units the entire season, and this is the last 14 weeks that they've seen, and some of the quarterbacks, like Dak is an above average, or maybe average at this point, 34 points, Rodgers, 33. They lost to Heineke. Like, it's like, am I supposed to believe the Chiefs are going to struggle to score points in this game? I mean, let's go over the what did the Chiefs do to the 49ers, Killian? Do you remember the exact amount of points that they scored against the 49ers? Because I have it right here if you don't.
No, I don't.
Would you like me to tell you? The Chiefs hung 44.
44.
On the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Okay? The 49ers have a better defense than the Eagles do.
How healthy were they? Because I know it was pretty close, but do you know how many people
they had two guys out in that game. And I think another guy got hurt in the second half. Mm. I think that was the game that Eric Armstead maybe went out. But 44 against the Niners, who have a better defense than the Eagles do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, the Chiefs' offensive line is a top five unit in the NFL. It's right around that five or six, depending on, okay, maybe top six or seven unit in the NFL, depending on what you want to look at on metric-wise. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs' offensive line is healthy. People like to talk about, well, the last time the Chiefs got there, they couldn't handle a pass rush when Tampa Bay was there and Ndamukong Suh played on that team, and now he's on this team. The Chiefs didn't have Eric Fisher that game. They didn't have Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle. Mm. They had one starter left in that game from, like, the first game of the playoffs. Like, that was a complete patchwork. Chiefs offensive line comes into this game healthy. Trey Smith is the only one at right guard who has an ankle thing, but he was a full participant. Mm. Chiefs offensive line should be 100% healthy. Mahomes should be around 90%. So he should be able to move around better than he did against Cincinnati, which will help.
Yeah, I think the Andy Reid quote was like he can do pretty much everything in our game plan or something like that.
Yeah, and they can chip a little bit here and there with your, you know, Noah Gray's or a Fortson or Trav, whatever they want to do there. So am I concerned? Yes, I am. I mean, you still have Robert Quinn, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham. Those guys are beasts on the outside. That would probably be where I think the Chiefs can probably struggle a bit is maybe on the outside. I worry about, as weird as it sounds, I worry about that more than inside. Just because I think, you know, because you've got Orlando Brown's been ish good, but kind of disappointing for the money he wanted before the year
right. At
left tackle. And obviously the weak point of that offensive line is Andrew Wiley at right tackle. So I would be concerned about the Quinns and the Sweats and the Grahams, much more so than the Fletcher Coxes, Jordan Davises, Hargraves, Joseph Sue, just because I think interior of the Chiefs' offensive line is really freaking good with Creed Humphrey and Smith and Tooney there in the middle, and they're healthy. So I think the Chiefs, and they have Andy Reid, he's had two beats. You know his record off of a bye. I actually should have it in front of me. I don't. It's like an 8-10 winning percentage or something off of byes. I mean, it's like, and you see people like, well, the Chiefs opened as a 1.5-point favorite for a minute and a half, and when a line moves that many points the other way, it's 16-4 against the spread for the team that becomes favored second. So take the Eagles. Like, there's all sorts of things that people say, but it's like some of those stats are kind of just pointless. The Chiefs were never favored with FanDuel Sportsbook. There were some in-person books where the Chiefs were favored for literally like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't really consider that the Chiefs were a favorite at any point in this game, and I don't really know that really means anything anyways, because if you want to do 16-4 against the spread for that not line, then I'll bring up Andy Reid's winning percentage off of byes or
right.
Patrick Mahomes' winning percentage against number one, you know, or elite type defense.
That's the thing about stats, is you can go fishing for anything you want.
Yeah. So I guess my thing, Killian, is I'll get your thoughts now. When the Chiefs have the ball, I really don't worry that much. I just think that the Chiefs have the best play caller of all time. And I rest in peace to Bill Walsh and some of these other offensive geniuses, Mike Shanahan and some of these other, you know, different great Madden, all these great offensive coaches out there. But I think they have the best quarterback in the world. I think they have the best coach. I think they have a healthy offensive line. I think everybody outside of Mecole Hardman will play on the offense. Mm-hmm. I think Schuster and Tony will give it a go. Yeah.
Tony
Justin
Watts
is back.
Today.
He did what?
He got a good update today. Apparently he's running around like crazy was the quote there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a Super Bowl, so yeah. It's time. They even got your boy Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in an emergency.
My boy, huh?
In an emergency situation.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm just not that concerned about it. The Chiefs have torched defenses all year. If you want to blitz, Mahomes will make you pay. If you want to go too high and make them bleed their way 10 plays down the field, they'll do that too. I don't know. I guess maybe my question for you is, will the Chiefs be able to run the football? I mean, that could be one thing that would be worth mentioning, is because, you know, it's very, very obviously very, very tough to run the football against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Are the Chiefs able to run this week?
Yeah, I think so. I think Isaiah Pacheco's run style will be good for this, and he's really going to be able to hit those holes hard. That's what he's going to have to do, and that's kind of what he's built for. So I think, like you said, the line is pretty good. It's just that it's being compared to the Eagles line, which is probably, like, you know, more elite, like, you know, one of the best in the last few years.
Yeah, the Eagles had the better offensive line, but here's the deal. Like, the Chiefs are still a top six unit.
Oh, yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I 100% agree that I don't think that the Chiefs will have much trouble scoring on the Eagles. I think that it'll be a high-scoring game. I probably do like the over two. I think that we're not going to be able to stop them that well either. I mean, it'll be a high-scoring game. It's just a matter of who can score most, who can score last. I think it's one of those.
Is there a player on the Chiefs' offense that you like to have a big game outside of Mahomes and Kelsey? Can't use those two. And we'll take Pacheco out.
I'll take Tony.
Okay. I think give me – This is kind of a hot take, and I'm kind of doubling down to the AFC Championship where I was wrong because he got hurt. Give me Juju.
Juju.
Give me Juju bouncing back here and having a nice game here.
I like it.
Okay, so the side of the ball that I am more concerned, I mean, I'm concerned about both. The Eagles still have that, you know, the front seven is fantastic for the Eagles. We didn't even talk about the linebackers. They're good too. But, I mean, when the Eagles have the ball is when I'm a little bit more concerned. This offensive line, it could be the best. If you believe intern Kruk, who played college football, that's on our staff here, we had him on the show last week, he thinks it's the best offensive line in the NFL since the Cowboys in 2015. And mm-hmm. he played offensive line in college, so he researches these things. But you got Jordan Mulata, left tackle, Landon Dickerson, left guard. Of course, the Hall of Famer, Jason Kelsey, we love him. At center, kind of anchoring the whole thing, Isaac Ciamalo at right guard, Lane Johnson at right tackle, who seems to false start, by the way, by a tenth of a second. Have you seen that those Twitter videos of him beating it by like a tenth of a second? Mm-hmm. But he's in an elite Hall of Fame. They have a couple Hall of Famers, him and Kelsey for sure. I will say Lane Johnson's been questionable all week. He was going into last week too. He's gonna play. But maybe he won't be as effective. You know, that's one thing to hope for. And then the backup, they don't even have a backup at right tackle because he's so durable. It's like Jack Stoll, I believe, the tight end out of Nebraska. is kind of like their guy that comes in there. So the thing I'm concerned about in this game, Killian, is can Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Kalen Saunders, you know, Carlos Dunlop, Naughty, Dana, Carl Loftus, can these guys get home, number one? But it's not even so much that, because I kind of just don't think it's very difficult to get home against Jalen Hurts. The guy is elite at escaping trouble, right? Mm-hmm. He's, you know, and he still is banged up a bit with that arm. And we talked about how we thought the deep balls would be there against the 49ers. And granted, they didn't have to throw the ball at all in the second half. Mm-hmm. But we did see it a couple times in the first half where he made bad throws.
Yeah.
And missed some guys deep. I think the play is going to be in this game, you know, there's a couple ways they could go with it. And I don't know. I kind of like on like third down, and I brought this up last week with Kruk. Mm-hmm. He disagreed. I kind of like the three down lineman on third down when it's third and long. Just, I feel like it's just going to be difficult to sack Jalen Hurts. Like, yeah. I feel like it's just so hard. He's a nightmare to try to bring down. So, like, maybe getting home is the incorrect word. Maybe is, can they make him, you know, can they contain him?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think that this is a big game for our linebackers. We have some really stud linebackers.
Yeah, Gay and Bolton are going to be.
Gay and Bolton. I mean,
and Dunlop.
This is their territory. This is what they do. Is they got to get out there and contain him. If they can keep him in the pocket and make him pass, that's great for us. Because I mean, what really scares me about them is them just like marching it down the field a few yards at a time on us with that great line and just, you know, the options between Hurts and Gainwell and Sanders and all that. It's just a lot to throw at us.
And Boston Scott.
And Boston Scott.
The random vulture there.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I did notice in the 49ers game is it was obvious they were intense. And when you can freeze Fred Warner, who, for my money, it might be the best linebacker in the league. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about Bosa and all the rest of the guys. Just to talk about Warner here, but and their linebackers for the 49ers. The fact that those RPOs are just killer. I mean, because like they make you freeze that extra half second to see what he's going to do. But it was obvious that they were completely playing Jalen Hurts last week. They were not trying to stop the run. They were not even respecting Kenneth Gainwell, Miles Sanders, and you saw him get torched for big play after big play. So the Chiefs do have to be cognizant of that. That's one of the big challenges and concerns that I have in this game. So what do you think? What's the answer for this, Killian? Like, that's what's so difficult about this Eagles offense. I hate the face on the RPO. It just frustrates Allen. I will say, like, you nailed it. We do have very good speed at the linebacker position. And I should mention, too, a guy that I think we could see more in this game. And I saw Andy Reid this morning, or maybe yesterday afternoon, talk about how someone you're not thinking about is going to be the difference in this game. And could it be a guy like Brian Cook, the guy whose jersey, $200 I just invested in to get a Super Bowl jersey, with his elite speed and closing speed? Do we see more of him out there in non-nickel situations? Is he in there to help contain? I mean, I don't know. I know the game plan. Like, yeah, it's such a unique offense.
I don't mind that look at all. I mean, we saw him a little bit more last game. He's kind of coming on. I think that's part of the reason that the jersey worked out so well for you. But I can see him being that guy. Do you think that Andy Reid said that with a particular guy in mind, or he just meant that generally?
Maybe just trying to mind F people too. I mean, it could be Tony. It could be Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sky Moore, we saw him on the field more than ever. And I think it's a decent chance that either Schuster or Tony is not able to play four quarters, as much as I hate to say that. And I hope it's, you know, both of us kind of picked a guy that's coming in with injury questions, but it's a Super Bowl and they're going to try to power through it.
And we've seen Tony. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see the difference between him being made of glass and not wanting to play for the Giants and wanting to play for us but still being made of glass. You know, like, he's it's different. He wants to play, you can tell, but he's still getting hurt all the time. Like, he genuinely is injury prone like that. And I mean, a lot of people speculated that it was mostly, you know, fabricated from the Giants of him not wanting to play. There seems to be some truth to it.
I think
whether he hammed it up or not.
I think there's some truth to it. And I think there's a trick play coming with him throwing the football in this game as a former college quarterback.
Was McKinnon a quarterback too?
Yeah, he was. I think it was in high school, though. But they actually let him go to. They knew, I know this from just, let's just say, an inside source, that Tony was recruited to Florida. They knew he couldn't play quarterback, but they wanted to get him on campus. They knew he was a receiver. Mm-hmm. But they let him his first semester be a quarterback, so we could see that he's not up to snuff with the rest of the guys. But he does have a background.
Let him make that conclusion on his own.
Yeah. We haven't seen the classic, you know, Stanford band play or the Raiders ring around the rosy during the playoffs. Are we going to get a couple wrinkles like that in this game? Andy Reid's got to have some plays ready for it,
I think so. We've been
deprived,
surprisingly devoid of them for the last couple of games, so I think there's one coming.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all. I think there's a bet out there somewhere. There's some way to bet what you like, but a non-quarterback to throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl, like, is very good odds. I would maybe get on that if you like the Tony touchdown.
Do the Eagles have anybody? Was it Miles Sanders that throws the ball sometimes?
Every team seems to have somebody. I don't know who it is.
The Eagles used to have somebody. Was it Alshon Jeffrey? They used to have somebody that could throw the ball.
I mean, that's the thing too, is like, just the nature of it. A lot of times, the best athlete in high school, they're going to make him the quarterback, and then he gets to college and turns out that's not what he really is. And so a lot of these guys have played quarterback at some level just because they were such an elite player.
What about McCaffrey and his great throw?
Yeah, no, that was
a couple weeks ago.
A dime.
He only missed the guy by
20
yards.
Oh, we were talking about that one. there was the week that he had a rushing, a receiving, and a passing.
Oh, no, I'm talking
passing.
About last game. Oh, no, that, yeah, against that the Eagles, horrible. I think that. It was just miscommunication. Yeah. But he like missed a guy by 20 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know. In summary, I don't have as much to say about this, except I'm a lot more confident about the Chiefs being able to score points than I am about them being able to stop the Eagles. Yeah. I do think this game shoots out. I think this game is going to be very, very close. Do you have any other thoughts when the Eagles have the ball? Who are you looking at to have a big game other than Hurts in this? Who else do you concern yourself with in this offense? Is it A.J. Brown? Is it Smith? Goddard?
I think
one of the backs?
Goddard scares me a little bit. We kind of leave the middle open for tight ends, and he's coming on at the right time. He's healthy now. I mean,
are you just stacking the hell out of the box?
If we didn't have Travis, it would be hard to give the advantage to us on tight ends because he's so good, but obviously we have the best guy there is.
Are you stacking the hell out of the box and just making him beat you deep? But you're allowing A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I mean, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to basically put your DBs on an island with some really great receivers or get destroyed over the middle and through the middle.
I worry because it's so hard to bring him down. That's the problem with putting one-on-one coverage on the outside is, like, if they don't get home fairly quick.
Especially A.J. Brown, he can just moss you.
He'll just
going.
Throw the ball in the air and he's going to freaking get it.
Yeah, he's a big body receiver. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way the offense has got to lean is, like, you know, we got to make him beat us deep for now. At least don't let them run on us up front and, you know, maybe adjust as you go. But I think that's, especially after what we saw a couple weeks ago, maybe his shoulder isn't completely healthy and him being more of a run threat than a throwing threat even. Yeah, I think that's the way you
gotta
play it.
And I do think it's interesting that nobody has talked about that. Like, it's all about Mahomes. And people aren't talking about Mahomes' injuries as much now. I don't hear as much about it. But, like, no one seems to really be talking about Hurts. Yeah. I mean, being hurt.
Mahomes is... He's getting the Brady treatment now, you know. He's been to a couple of these. It's all criticisms. It's all, how's he not as good as people are acting like, where
experience.
Where Hurts is getting the Burrow treatment. He's the new guy. He's a charismatic guy that's playing really well. He's young. It's his first time here. He's playing better than people thought he was. And so, like, he's more of the public's darling. So that's kind of...
That's true. And that's one thing we should have talked about, too, when we talked about the quarterback and head coach's experience. The Chiefs are the experienced team. Mahomes is his third one now. Yeah. I mean, this is... I don't think there's going to be too many nerves there for him. There'll be some nerves, I'm sure, but it's like he knows what to do. He's been there. He's been on both sides of it. I got to think he's feeling pretty confident going into this game. The fact that unlike last time, he's got a real offensive line in front of him.
Yeah. I mean, the defense is better than it was that time.
Yep. For sure. This is arguably the only downgrade
is the no Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. This is arguably, Killian, probably the best Chiefs team Mahomes has played on all around. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say that. So, and this is supposed to be a rebuilding year, according to a lot of people. So that's scary for the rest of the NFL when you have all the draft capital coming up and so many young players on this team. You know, your Watsons and, you know, all the guys. Like, basically, you know, McDuffie's and Karloftis's.
Yeah, I can see Sky Moore's, next year.
Pacheco's, and, you know, Trey Smith is super young still. Creed Humphrey's only in his second year. I mean, this is a young team, you know.
Yeah.
Mahomes has got, you know, 6 years left in his prime probably still before he starts getting towards the back half of his career. So. It's exciting, man. It's really exciting.
I mean, think about it, though. He's 27 now. I think he's like a year older than me.
If he plays till he's 38, you got to figure he's at his prime till 33.
But, yeah, I would say, I mean, well, we saw Russell Wilson kind of fall off this year. And what's he, 34, 33? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's another thing, too, that, like, there's so many athletes that are really, really good in their prime. But, like, that's what makes Tom Brady so amazing is that he – realized, hey, I can stay in my prime a lot longer if I take care of my body. If I don't, because there's so many of these guys that are, they're huge athletes making a ton of money, winning games, and they're going out and celebrating, go to the club, drinking, partying, and it all, you know, cuts into their longevity.
What about Aaron Hernandez, dude?
Yeah, well, he cut into his a whole lot, I hope that Mahomes is one of these guys that if he hasn't already seen that, does see it. You know, I don't know anyone.
I think he does.
I hope he does. But
him getting wild is seeing him down at the Grand Saloon eating nachos. I mean, I just don't see the guy.
I heard the way he could put away some silver bullets, but
yeah, I have heard that too.
You know,
nothing wrong with that. Okay, so any other X factors in this game before we make our predictions? I mean, as lame as this sounds, a lot of this is going to come down to turnovers. A lot of this is going to come down to the special teams. I mean, as lame as that is to say, I know it's stupid, it's just boring analysis, but these are two fairly evenly dispersed teams. I think, like I said, because even like where these teams both have the advantage, the other team is not bad. Like, even if Mahomes has the advantage, Hurts is right behind him. Even if Reed is the best coach, Sirianni's arguably coming into that top five territory.
Yeah, he was coach of the year territory this year.
Even though the Eagles have the better offensive line and the best in the league, the Chiefs aren't that far. I mean, rank-wise, they're four or five units behind. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you know, Kelsey's better, but Goddard's not that far behind. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are better, but, I mean, Tony and Smith-Schuster aren't that. It's like these teams are just – this is what you want in the Super Bowl. It's the two best teams. These are the teams that deserve to be there. You know, I was a 49ers guy until the last game, and I finally went against them. You know, I went against them. I changed that. I really thought the 49ers probably would be there if they would have had Garoppolo all year, but he didn't. And I knew the Eagles were going to win that game, and – the Eagles were, the first or second best team in the NFC, and the Chiefs the best in the AFC.
That's another interesting thing you touched on, too. I don't know. I wish I went back and looked, but, like, when was the last time 2-1 seeds played each other in the Super Bowl, first of all?
It's been a minute.
And then on top of that, 2-1 seeds that have the top two front runners for MVP as their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, like, it really has been, you know, the two people that were supposed to make it, according to all the stuff they did. So.
I was going to ask you a question. I don't know if you heard this. Did you realize that Travis Kelce plays for the Chiefs and Jason Kelce is his brother? He plays on the Eagles. Did you know that?
Oh, no way. So they played each other?
You
and they're
know
brothers
that?
And they're playing they're in the playing same game the against
Bowl.
Each other.
Wow. Yeah, their mom is going to wear a divided jersey. Have you heard that? Did you know about that?
Yeah. I did. I don't know. For real, though, if you saw from, like, they had her on their podcast, of course, this week as their guest. And Travis was saying how, like, are you going to wear that jersey that I bought you, the one with both of our jerseys on it? Are you going to buy the one I bought you because I'm your favorite? So apparently Travis is the one that bought that jersey. So probably some Etsy shop here in Kansas City or something is the one that made that for Donna. That's funny.
Do you think is there a pretty good chance we have more listeners than the New Heights Kelce podcast?
Oh, we're close.
You think we're bigger?
Yeah, well, we don't quite have the star power, but we know we've been doing it a while. So
yeah, that's right. We go way back here. All right. Okay, so it's time for predictions here now. Then I want to get to the lock of the week and then a few fun props here real quick here. We got about 8-10 minutes left here. I'll start with my pick, I guess. I really, really do like the Chiefs in this game. Mm-hmm. I really do. I just think the experience thing, I think the better quarterback. I think Hurts is more likely to make a mistake than Mahomes is. I think Reed has had plenty of time to prepare for all scenarios. I think the Chiefs are finally healthy-ish for the first time since before the playoffs. Both teams are pretty much healthy. I mean, the Eagles actually had three guys limited practice. The Chiefs only had one, but I think you know, the Eagles are probably a little bit healthier overall, even though they had the three limited. I think they'll probably just be more cautious. Mm-hmm. But both teams, there's no excuse for injuries. There'll be none for me. These teams are healthy. So I just think in this game, Killian, I like the experience the Chiefs have. I like the coach the Chiefs have. I like the quarterback the Chiefs have. I like the chip on their shoulder of, again, being an underdog going into this week. And I just don't know. I mean, we've seen this Eagles defense struggle against top offensive units. We've seen the Chiefs shred the 49ers defense, which even if they were down three players, is still, you know, maybe it's a little bit less than the Eagles defense, the way they played it. But, the defense the Chiefs are playing this week is maybe a smidge better than one they played in San Francisco. Let's put it that way. But they shredded that defense in San Francisco. At the time, we thought the Bucs defense was good. They shredded the Bucs defense. I mean, they've really had no trouble for the most part this year. The Chiefs, outside of a couple random-ass, stupid, you know, Colts games. But then the Eagles had their, you know, Commanders games. Every team has those kind of games. But I just think the experience, I think the Chiefs are able to score points, and I just think Hurts is not going to be able to keep up. I think there's going to be a mistake or two. I like the grizzled veteran of Reed and Mahomes. I think the Chiefs get this game done in a shootout. Go ahead and give me the Chiefs in this game. Let's go kind of a random score. I don't know how they get there. Let's go 33-27 Chiefs.
Okay. I was going to go 31-28, more normal score.
Really?
But yeah, no, I like the Chiefs too. It's close one in my book, but I got to take the Chiefs as the underdog. They've been there before. All the things you said, all the things you've been talking about this whole episode. But yeah, no, they have to have a chip on their shoulder too. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to not be getting more respect from the media. And I don't know if, like I said, it's just one of those things where we've been there before. People don't want to see us win again because we have, and they want to see someone new in there.
And there's enough guys on this Chiefs team that don't have a ring yet. And also, yeah. I think there's enough hunger with the youth.
Absolutely.
And like, I feel kind of like the Chiefs have to realize deep down, and Mahomes, like, this is their fifth time. Basically, it's their fifth straight year where they could have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they've only got one so far. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you're going to look back at this as a blown opportunity if you don't pick this one up. Because there's going to be a time at some point where Mahomes is here where he's going to have a couple years, like Aaron Rodgers did, where you're not going to be there at the top of the AFC for a couple years. There might be some, you know, when Kelsey gets a smidge older and, you know, Chris Jones gets hurt or something happens to him, and or Mahomes has a bad year, or, you know, at some point something's going to happen. You really, I don't know that I think Mahomes' deep down gold standard is to try to catch Brady, mm-hmm. as ridiculous as that sounds. Yeah. But I mean, to have any chance that you'd have to win a game like this, and if you could win 2 out of 5, you'd say that's super freaking successful. But if you don't, I mean, it's going to kind of be one Super Bowl in these 5 years when they've been to five straight.
Then the narrative is going to be, he can't win the Super Bowl. He gets so close every year. But
yeah, so I just think the Chiefs get this done here, man. I think the X factors are there. I think it's their year. This is a hot take. I think they're the more talented football team. This is a hot take. They play in the AFC. They're battle-tested. Meanwhile, one last time. Again, I'm not trying to just talk trash about the Eagles. I know. Sorry, Devin, if you're still listening. Our good friend Devin, that's Eagles fans. But real quick here. Top 5 quarterbacks each team has faced. I should have brought that up earlier, like even. Okay? Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback the Eagles have faced. That was before the last 14 games. Then Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones 3 times, and Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have faced Josh Allen, Joe Burrow 2 times, Justin Herbert 2 times, Trevor Lawrence 2 times, and Tom Brady. I mean, I think I put Tom Brady ahead of Derek Carr. If you wanted to put Derek Carr, you could. But I think Tom Brady is the better quarterback there. But listen to that. The best quarterback the Eagles have faced is Lawrence, and the Chiefs, that's the 4th best they faced, and they faced him 2 times versus once. And they faced Burrow 2 times, Herbert 2 times, Josh Allen. So, I mean, like, that's another thing. Like, I think the Chiefs have a better defensive unit than people say, too. They've had a killer schedule, man. I think people kind of like to crap on the Chiefs' defense. I think this Chiefs' defense, I mean, we've seen it statistically-wise since off the bye. They're the 12th-ranked unit, PFF. I mean, it's and then that's playing mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence 2 times and Joe Burrow 2 times. So, it's going to be an interesting game. I think the Chiefs are a more talented team than they get the job done.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, no, the thing you said about the like a lot of this team doesn't have a ring. That's definitely true. I don't know if you heard, maybe I even mentioned it last week, but Frank Clark during the playoff game against the Bengals went to the O-line and said, just remember, only one of y'all even has a ring.
Yeah,
as motivation, and I mean, he got the job done. But
yeah.
Yeah, so four of those linemen have never been, have never won a Super Bowl.
Yep, and with us. Yeah,
yeah. So
yep. just good old Wiley.
Yeah,
yep. All right, well, let's do a few fun props before we get to the lock of the week and get out of here. All right, let's get to props.
All right, so yeah, we'll do passing for both quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts is at 238.5.
That's a good line. I don't like it. I wouldn't bet on it, but I would take the under if I had to.
That's kind of where I am. I don't know if I'm going to touch this one, but
it's going to be right around there. Under. I could see. I mean, I think he could hit 275, I suppose, in a best case, but I don't think it happens. I think they try to run the ball, and they're semi-successful running it in this game.
And if they do get this, it's because he got a couple chunks with A.J. Brown and Devontae
exactly,
Smith.
Yeah, or Devontae Smith, maybe.
And then, yeah, Mahomes is at 294.5, quite a bit higher.
I don't love the over here, but I'll still go. I'll take the over on it. I like the under on Hurts barely and the over on Mahomes barely. I think both teams were able to run the ball, which is why I asked you about that earlier, if you thought that Pacheco and the Chiefs could run the ball, because I kind of think they'll be able to also. I think they're going to have to be able to run a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. And we'll
especially if the Eagles are playing like a too high safety thing and they're kind of playing, you know, they're not, if they're playing more conservative against the Chiefs.
Yeah. I'm going to go just under on this one.
Okay. So you're under on both then.
Yeah, and you're one over, one under.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of which, though, we'll move to the rushing props real quick and talk about that because Jalen Hurts is at 49.5.
I'd go over on that.
I'm going to take his under.
Really? We're all over the place on this.
Miles Sanders, 61.5.
Under.
Yeah, I like the under there too. Jerick McKinnon, 19.5.
I'll go over because I think that maybe when he comes in, they think it's passing and he's blocking or leaking out in the flat. They haven't ran him much the last couple games, so I think he could pop one or two 7-8 yard gains that gets him there.
I don't mind that. Yeah, I'll go over with you on that one. And then Isaiah Pacheco, 46.5.
Oh, rushing?
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah, 46.
Oh, I love that. Over, for sure.
I do too. Big over guy on that one.
Just off of volume. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to run all over him, but I think they'll be able to get a couple 8-9 yard gashes there, and I think the volume will get him there, even if it's 2 or 3 yards of pop after that.
Yeah. I think just the way he runs, like if he gets a hole, he's going to make it into a decent gain just because he falls forward. He runs so hard. But yeah, no, I liked over that one.
Is that really only 46.5?
Yeah. I mean,
wow. That's so far, that's my favorite prop. We were going to look for kind of a couple props that we line a bet. I'm going to bet that one for sure. And I'm going to bet the under on Miles Sanders, 61.5 also.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from the passing, though.
I think I probably like his over better than Miles Sanders under, but I like both.
And stay away from the passing.
The next one is one that I've seen a lot of people talking about online, a lot of the sharps. Like, I think it's gone up a little bit, but Kenneth Gainwell's line is at 19.5
for rushing.
Yeah.
I probably go over on that.
Yeah, I think that's what most people online are talking about.
I think to me, he's kind of like McKinnon. This is one of those gamesmanship things where when McKinnon or Gainwell are in, you kind of assume they're in to catch the ball or they're on third down or they're there to hurry up offense or to chip or whatever. But they can both run the ball too, and I think it's kind of used as a nice decoy, and they both get a couple 7-8 yard runs. And then, you know, if you get 1 or 2 7-yard runs, all you need is a couple more 2 yard runs and you're there. So.
Right, yeah. Looked over. And then the last one, also at 19.5, is Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he's going to have the three kneels at the end of the game for -1, or that one AFC championship where he lost like 17 yards kneeling at the end.
Yeah.
Like one of the worst beats ever. I'm going to go under on that, though.
Yes. So you're giving me pause with the kneeling thing. I was going to say, I feel like the line is kind of, 19.5 isn't that low for him as far as what we've been seeing this season.
I feel like he has one of those 10-yard scrambles every game and one of those like 6-yard. Right. I feel like 15 or 16 is a pretty safe floor. But after that, we don't know how his ankle's holding up. And we also have to keep in mind he will take kneels at the end if they have a lead. Or even at the end of the half, he might take one.
See, because, yeah, like, well, I went looking for this prop just a minute ago. And I was like, Mahomes is going to have a really low rushing line because their defense up front is supposed to be so good.
And the
ankle and everything. But I was kind of thinking, you know, I'm going to go over here if it's that low because we saw him rush a few times against the Bengals with the angle that was
in way worse shape. What did he get in that game, about 20?
I'll have to go look that up. But
let me look it up. Okay. I'll look it up while you keep going through props.
But that's kind of my thinking was that, you know, they're kind of discounting this line because he's hurt, but they're not as much as I think. So
he had rushing in that game. He only had 8? Is that right?
Really?
Huh. Is that right?
Well,
it must have all been on that play, and then did he kneel in that game?
Okay, I'll take the under.
Yeah,
too,
he did kneel.
Okay, yeah, I'll take the under then too. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that's right. He didn't even run like an option or that was the game before that. He had like a 2 yard
loss. He had a couple of deals too, didn't he?
He had a 2 yard loss on one of the three, and then I think he had the minus one on that. And then I think the rush, that's about right. The rush was for about 10, and they tacked on 15 more on the personal foul. So that sounds about right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The 3 for 8 thing.
Okay, and then receiving props.
Yeah, give me some receiving ones. Yeah. Some fun ones here, too.
Starting with Goddard at 49.5.
I go, that's a good line.
It is a really good line, isn't it?
I'll go over on that. Yeah, but I'm not going to bet it.
I'm taking over for the sole fact that earlier in the podcast I said I thought he would have a pretty big game, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, I think he's in the – I could see him in the 50s.
Yeah. Devontae Smith.
Under. What is it?
Oh, sorry. What is – yeah, do you like over under? No, yeah. I'm not telling you. You know, 63.5.
Under.
Yeah, I like his under. A.J. Brown, 72.5.
Under.
I'll take his over. Kelsey, 79.5.
You're talking about Travis? No, they're not going to split out Jason, right? You're talking about Travis?
No. If you can bang the under on his receiving line, whatever it is.
72 is an eligible receiver. That'd be so cool. What is it again? 72.5?
79.5.
79.5?
Yeah.
I'll go over just because I think he probably has to catch 80 to 90 yards as a floor for the Chiefs to win this game.
Yeah, I like that rationale. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Over. Jared McKinnon's at 22.5.
Over.
Yeah, I like the over there. I think he's healthier now again.
Is there anything for Tony and Smith-Schuster?
Let's see. I'm going to expand this out. Yeah, there are. So Miles Sanders at 4.5. That's interesting. I know they've got the pass catching backs there and game well.
You're basically saying, they catch one pass. Give me the over.
Right. A positive gain there. So yeah, I'll take the over with that one. Another one that's been talked about a lot because there's kind of two ways to look at it is Quez Watkins. So that one's
big play.
That one's 12.5. Yeah. So basically,
he'll probably have you're zero or 50. So no, his, not 50, yeah, 30.
His receiving line or his receptions line, I'm sorry, I saw, was at 1.5. So basically, everyone's saying, if he can just get one, he's a big play guy. He's going to get this. But then the other way of thinking, though, is that, hey, he's pretty much a ghost out there when Dallas Goedert actually plays. And so, go under. So there's really been two camps on this one, I think.
I like the over just because of the value you're getting. And I think the game script in my head is they'll have to throw at the end. I think they run the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end, they get down and he catches one at some point. Yeah. Or maybe at the end of the half or something when they're going out to get a field goal or whatever.
So this may not be one of your favorite of the week, but the over for Quez is at plus 100. So it's the only one that doesn't have juice on it. So
I could see
the under juice to minus 122.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so yeah, that's a good one to take a look at. Juju, 38.5.
Over.
And then Marquez Valdes-Scantling just one below at 37.5.
Give me under on that
I'm taking the under there. I'm on both of those. I was with you on Juju too. Over on Juju, under on MVS. And then Tony, last one, 27.5.
Over.
Yeah, give me the over too. I know that Tony, like we talked about, is having all the injury issues, but I almost, and also MVS did catch over 100 yards.
His problem though, dude, is that he sometimes gets rushes because they throw the ball backwards. So when you think it's a catch, it's a
gadget
rush.
Like McCole was last year.
Yeah, that's the risk with him is that the bubbles aren't always forward. Like there was one play in particular that happened this year.
But he breaks plays though too.
He does. It just seems like they don't throw the ball downfield very far
too. That's a good point.
Most of the time, it's like a yard or two past the line, and he has to make plays. So the question is, does he break one? He's going to have at least one double figure, obviously.
Do you think
to get
part
to that.
Of that though is just his limited knowledge of the playbook?
Some of it, but I mean, I would think by now.
No, yeah, absolutely.
But is there any like so in Kansas? You said you cannot bet on the coin toss, or what else?
You can't bet on the coin toss. Bet on the Gatorade. I did a little bit of research, so I'm going to give you the 1 minute version because it doesn't matter that much. We have a couple listeners outside of Kansas. If by chance you're in a state that you can bet this, or you've got a non-sportsbook partner that can take bets for you, there might be an option.
Real quick, I'm going to give you some fun ones here before we get to the lock of the week here. I don't think the majority of these are on FanDuel. I'm getting these from a different place, like some offshore account or something. Mm-hmm. So one or two of these might be on FanDuel, but the length of the national anthem, over or under 2 minutes and 5 seconds, Killian?
I saw this. So
who's singing the national anthem?
So it's Chris Stapleton. I do know that.
Oh, it is Chris Stapleton.
It's Chris Stapleton. I know very little about Chris Stapleton. I know very little about the national anthem length and all that kind of thing, like historical data on this. What I do know is that the country station plays a lot in the sales pit. Chris Stapleton's on there. He's kind of like a crooner, I'll call him. He belts. He kind of has long and held notes.
So,
I'm going to take the over, yeah.
Okay. It does say over is the safer bet at 57% lifetime on the site I'm on. Length of the word brave in the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
There's no way you can bet on this, but over 5 seconds or under, it says over is 67% likely. 5 seconds
so
on Brave.
Just on him really holding that Brave at the end.
Yeah.
Huh.
Will there be a... This is the dumbest thing I've ever... There's no way you can bet on this either. Will there be a scoring drive that's shorter than the national anthem? The odds makers say yes. It's an over 64% chance there'll be a scoring drive, which is, what is it, 2 minutes and five seconds? Yeah. I guess of game clock, it would be a drive under.
Yeah, that's true, under 2 minutes. Yeah, so that's a pretty good chance of happening. And I guess like if there's a return or something, that would count too.
Yeah.
And that would be
the octopus, the same player scoring a touchdown plus a two-point conversion.
So that one is on FanDuel. I did see that one.
You and I didn't know what that was till this morning. Like, yeah, explain what that is again.
So, yeah, it's just it's around eight. It's when one player scores a touchdown and a two-point conversion in the same game, 8 points. That's where the octopus comes
not
from.
Likely.
Not likely at all. But, you know, that's why you're getting the plus whatever.
Jalen Hurts or Travis Kelce are probably the two best odds on that in this game. Here's one. Oh, by the way, there's a 93% chance the octopus won't happen, according to this website. Somewhere you can bet Jason and Travis Kelce scoring a touchdown. Jason would have to pick a fumble. But it's possible
because you can't make a center eligible.
Fumble's the only way.
No, they have to move him to tackle first.
They said there's less than a 1% chance that they both score.
I'm not touching that.
And then four more here. What song will Rihanna sing first in their halftime show? The best odds at 25% are "Don't Stop the Music," according to this.
Interesting.
What color eyeshadow will Rihanna wear? Jeez. The odds say clear or none at 71%. And then last two, what will Eagles QB Jalen Hurts throw first, a touchdown or an interception? I bet you can bet on that on FanDuel.
That one seems like you could, yeah.
73% a touchdown. And then which Anheuser-Busch product will get the first commercial? 37%, the old school Budweiser. The OG has the best odds at 37%.
Really? I feel like I would go with Bud Light if I had to pick, but you did see, like, for the first time in like 20 years or something, AB doesn't have exclusive rights. There'll be other alcohol advertisers for the first time. Okay, but speaking of non-alcoholic drinks, real quick, we're going to go on to the Gatorade, because like I said, I did some research. I didn't know it wasn't bettable in Kansas at first. So for those of you that can bet it or just care for some reason.
Or that want to drive to Iowa.
Right, yeah.
Drive to Lamoni just to bet.
We're not sure Iowa takes it, but maybe. But anyway, so yeah, on the coin toss, Tails has won the last two. It's been Tails the last 2 years. So.
See, I used to bet AFC or NFC.
See, I think you can bet like Chiefs or there's a lot of ways to bet.
Who would you bet on the team? Chiefs.
Chiefs. Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm not betting that. They do give you +100.
Dude, why not?
Good, I guess.
Do you think Chiefsaholic is betting on that? We should talk about how he's out of jail what's that? Bond.
Bond. Yeah.
He's out of $80,000 bond so he can watch the Super Bowl, but he can't leave the state of Oklahoma. So
and I presumably can't bet. Maybe he can.
He did bet. I think he has a $60,000 if Mahomes wins the MVP ticket.
Like a future.
So like that'll probably pay for his bond most of it.
That's
ridiculous. All right, continue. Sorry.
But yeah, no, you're fine. So what I have for the Gatorade stats, the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they had yellowish-green Gatorade, like the lime flavor.
Okay.
The last time the Chiefs won a couple years ago, we had orange.
I thought it was orange. Okay.
Yeah. So betting basically the same color as the team color, it's not really an advantage based on historical data. Blue is on a two-year streak. The Bucks had blue. The Rams had blue. So
the play is
blue
or
orange. There seem to be some streaks. So that's another thing for that is clear went on a 4-year streak from 05 to 08. Hasn't been seen since. But if you're watching the social media sites, the Pro Bowl had water, clear Gatorade, whatever it may be. So that's kind of an interesting point of information. And then since 2001, which is when this data that I looked at came from, orange has been the most popular with 5 instances.
I love that you spent all this time researching this, by the way. Don't ever say that Killian Wyatt is not the hardest working sports handicapper in the industry. Look what he's doing. Gathering details on that. And he didn't even know he couldn't even bet it. That's how dedicated. You can't even bet it in Kansas and you're still crunching the numbers. That's my boy.
I didn't know, but.
That's fine.
But thanks. I appreciate the props.
Any other ones?
No, that's most of what I got about the Gatorade.
Okay. Well, that's a good number. I mean, have some fun with maybe one or two of those. But if you're asking me before we get to the lock of the week here and get out of here, favorite two props for me are the two rushing ones. I like Pacheco over on the rushing yards. I like Miles Sanders under on the rushing yards. In fact, that's probably a good shot for my risk-free same-game parlay. Maybe I'll throw in those two, the Chiefs money line and Juju catching a touchdown or something like that. I mean, that would give decent odds. That. On that. So what would you do if you were going to build a same game parlay with props? Would you use those two and the Chiefs money line and then touchdowns, or would you just go touchdowns, or what would you do?
Yeah, like I said, I like the Pacheco one a little bit better. Probably Miles Sanders receiving I like at 4.5. I'd take that one. And then I don't know.
To me, the quarterbacks are too iffy. I do like Hurts on the rushing a decent amount.
Say, I don't mind like even rush like a
because I think this is
going to
be more of a running game than it is a passing game for really for both teams, but especially for Philadelphia. Just a feeling. I don't know if that's right, but yeah. All right, lock of the week time. What will the lock be, Killian? You ready to find out?
I wonder.
Let's go.
Let's make you some money on FanDuel with Dave O's lock of the week.
So apparently, I'm the only loser who didn't get the memo and is wearing a blue Royals jersey a couple days before Super Bowl 57. But that's the only losing going on around here on the KC Press Box with me, Dave O, and Killian White on the camera. I'll tell you what, we are 45 wins and 21 losses in the lock of the week on fire. Six straight weeks we've won our lock of the week in the NFL. And Super Bowl 57, another chance to build our bankrolls. Milk Bessie, the cash cow, one more time on FanDuel Sportsbook. This game, I'll tell you what, there's a clear winner, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know why? It's the Chiefs in this game at plus 105 on the money line. The Eagles have only seen three offensive lines that rank in the top 14 on PFF grade-wise, so only three above-average offensive lines all year. Best three quarterbacks they've seen? Who are we seeing out there? Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones a few times, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers. Both Rodgers and Prescott put up over 30 on this defense. The Chiefs will score at will against these Eagles like they did against the 49ers earlier in the year. The Chiefs on the money line, they have the experience, the quarterback, the coaching, less turnovers. They've been there. It'll show. Moneyline Chiefs, plus 105. Build those bankrolls. Let's go. You can have your cheesesteaks. We'll take our barbecue and a ring for Super Bowl 57, baby. Woo. Killian, I am fired up, my friend.
Big passion for the big game. We love it.
And you can say Super Bowl because we're sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook. So we can.
I love working here. All the people on the radio are trained. Like just in normal conversation, yeah. They'll be like, "What are you doing this weekend for the big game?"
I know. It's
like, you can say it here.
I know. Our boss here, Steve, one year texted me. He's like, "Hey, you want to come over for the big game?" I'm like, "Dude, we're texting right now. We're not on the radio. You don't have to say big game." But yeah, you get like programmed if you work in radio to say a big game. All right. Any other closing thoughts here? We both like the over.
Yeah.
Chiefs money line. There's just not value in taking them +1.5. I'm not paying juice for that.
Reason. I mean, the odds of them losing by one are very, very slim.
Yeah. So, okay. So we both think it's going to be a good game. You got any, where are you going to be for the Super Bowl, by the way?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to be up north of my buddy's house. He has a pretty big house with a good spread for it. A few different TVs. We looked at going to P&L, but man, it's just astronomically expensive.
Like, I'll be most likely watching it with my dad and my girlfriend. So
nice, that'll be fun.
It'll be a nice time there. Maybe get some pizza shop. I haven't had their cracker crust in a while.
There you go.
Love from pizza
a free
shop.
Plug.
There you go.
Shout
exactly.
Pizza shop.
All right. Well, we will talk to you. We'll have a nice full recap next week. We'll do one more NFL week and kind of go over what we did for before the year for our predictions, see how we landed. And then we'll get into kind of college basketball and MLB shortly after that. But one more full week of recap in the NFL. Hopefully next time we talk to you, the Chiefs will be Super Bowl victors. Either way, we'll be here for you, though, right here on the KC Press Box. Killian?
We are out.
Powered by FanDuel, it's the KC Press Box with Dave O and Killian White.